Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, it's so good to see you all here today. Praise God. We made it to another one. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You know, I'm not going to let it go with just one or two. I'm going to get you to y'all on board. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is good. He's got so many good things for us today. You know, I wasn't sure. Really, it was funny yesterday. You know, you can go through your week and you can be filling up with the Spirit and doing, you know, doing things. And I had a busy week this week where I had to do a lot of different things and stuff, you know, but I always depend on the Lord. And as I was going through the week, I was pretty sure what I was going to minister yesterday in Corey. And as I was getting into it yesterday afternoon, I mean, I was about as dry as a cracker. Hallelujah. I mean, there was nothing in me. And I was just like, I just knew that I didn't have it. Amen. And I turned to my wife and I said, you want to preach tonight? And she said, this was just a couple hours before service. And she said to me, she's like, she just kind of got excited. She's like, I could, you know. And when she said that, though, I knew immediately that she had it in her. I just saw it in the Spirit, amen. And so I knew that she had the message in her. And praise the Lord, there were some people afterwards that told us that message was just what I needed to hear tonight. Praise God. And so I knew I didn't have it, but she had it. And see, the Lord will use us in different ways. And she said to me, she's like, you know, I believe the Lord is just preparing me, because usually she was somebody who wanted like weeks to prepare for a service, literally. Amen. And she would study and study and study. And the Lord just gave her the message, you know. But as we woke up this morning, you know, I still didn't have today's message. And I was like, well, praise the Lord. I was believing God for it, you know, and I trust God. But it was starting to get down to the wire, you know, because 2 hours before we had to be to church, and I still didn't have a message to preach. And how many know when you're somebody who doesn't like public speaking, anyways, when you don't have something from the Lord, I depend on the Lord heavily. And so I'm approaching the service, and I'm starting to feel the pressure a little bit. Hallelujah. But you know, I kept seeking the Lord, and I just did the things that I know to do, you know. And see, this is a great example. When pressure's going to come on us, we're always not going to know what to do in the moment. But see, as we just stay before the Lord, he'll bring it to us. Let me tell you, when you got to stand before 70 people and you got to give a message and you don't have one, and they're relying on you to bring it, amen. You know, you can't do that very many times without people deciding they don't want to come anymore. So there's pressure on it. But I pushed through the pressure, you know, and all of a sudden there was something there, and I got into it, you know. And as I got into it, praise the Lord, as I got into it, the direction of God became clearer and clearer to me, and I knew which direction that I was going to go. And afterwards, I realized, you say, why are you sharing all this with me? Because afterwards, I realized that, that God was, teaching me something. You know, he was teaching me to trust in him. Because the thing is it's never about me anyways. It's never about my wife. It's not about what we do. It's about God and how he wants to use us and what he wants to do. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so as we endeavor to follow God and do what he asks us to do, sometimes he's going to let us get out of our comfort zone a little bit. You know what I'm saying? He's going to let you get to a place where it's like, well, I don't really like this, you know, in the flesh. But when we learn to trust in him, that's why, you know, God doesn't put things on us, but he does allow us to get into areas sometimes where, like my wife said last night, Pastor Tim has said before, that he'll let you get on a limb that only he can bring you back from. Amen. And that's not a bad thing, because it builds our faith. And how many know that that's good? It's of God. Amen. And so I'm thankful for what God has for us. I believe that God is going to do good things here today in the service. And I believe that we have a message from heaven. Amen. And so I also want you to understand that this isn't a last minute message. Don't think that this is just thrown together last minute and stuff like that. This is a word from the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Well, today's message is called Worthy of the Call. And there's a question mark after it. So it's really more like worthy of the call. Are you worthy of the call? That's really what the premise behind this message was. You know, there's been a lot of things, stirring in us lately. But, you know, it's very important to always understand what we're doing, why we're doing it. It's important for us to have purpose. You know, as Christians, we can get out of purpose very easily if we don't remind ourselves of our purpose. Amen? Praise God. Sometimes, you know, the house of the Lord is a very amazing place. because God's Spirit always meets His people there. You know, in the worst times in our lives, when you know, even people who live in faith are going to face times where they don't feel strong enough or they don't feel like they can. You know, and the Lord has created the church as a place where people can come together and bring their faith to help a brother or sister in need. And you know, some things don't have to be said. Some things, it's not that they have to be told, and it's not that we have to find out everybody's business. But you know, the purpose of coming together is so that the body is blessed. Amen. And so we want to be a church that is always willing to go with God and what He has for us. Amen. We want to go with God and to reach the people. You know how many people out there that don't have this hope? And so that's what we're doing, is we're taking this, we're endeavoring to take this move to the world. Amen. We want to be a blessing to people, praise the Lord. Because God, he just loves us so much. You know, there are different sides of God, and we learn that through Scripture, that there are sides of God that, of course, God is a God of love, and He's compassionate, but there's also a side of God that He's just, you know, and He requires justice. He requires the right things to happen. You know, sometimes we as people won't follow through with it, but God always does follow through with justice, and that's because He loves us. Amen. And He is a good God, amen? And sometimes it's hard to understand that through our eyes, but we have to try to learn to understand that. And we can through the Word. It's not, when I say it's hard for us to understand it at first. But you know, God won't bless us beyond what we're capable. He won't give us things that will cause us to stumble. God won't do things for us. You know, even if you think it's a blessing you need, but it's going to cause you to stumble, God won't give it to you. If it's going to cause you to miss out, God won't give it to you. Now, the devil will try to, you know, but God won't. Praise the Lord. Jeremiah 29:11 in the Amplified. I want to start here in the Scripture. Praise God. Worthy of the call. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Jeremiah 29:11 in the Amplified. It says, "For I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans for welfare and peace, not for evil, to give you a hope in your final outcome." Now, I picked this version of the Scripture very purposefully, praise the Lord, and it's because of what it says there in the end. But we understand the Scripture. Of course, we go here a lot. We have it written on the wall. Most of you know it. Most of you lean on it. I'm sure that to a lot of you, this Scripture has been what kind of started your walk with the Lord, because when you realize that He had plans for you and it wasn't of evil. And see, that's a wonderful place to be. We have to understand that about the Lord, and we have to be excited that God has a wonderful plan for us, amen? But we have to understand that it's His plan. It's not our plan. It's not what we decide. It's not the flavor that we necessarily would have picked. And you remember what I was just saying about God wanting to bless us, but He won't bless us with things that won't bless us. You know, in His plan, not everything that you want in your life is in His plan. I'm just going to tell you that right now. That's not a bad thing, because not everything you want in life is going to be helpful to you. Actually, there's a lot of things that we find when we come into the church. A lot of times, the church that preaches the Word, we find a lot of the things that we did want in life were actually a detriment to our lives and to our families. You know, just because we want it or desire it doesn't make it right. And we have to learn, you know, we teach this to our kids, that you can't, you know, when you're raising your kids and it's mealtime, if you're a good parent, you don't just let your kids eat candy and sugar and stuff like that. What do you give them vegetables? Well, I don't want the vegetables, but you eat the vegetables anyways, because you need the vegetables, right? And so we know this from a natural standpoint, that you just can't do what you want to do. You know, we know that you have to go to work. Not everybody wants to go to work. Even if you love your job, you would prefer to be on vacation, I'm sure. Hallelujah. But see, we know that there's things we have to do that aren't exactly what we want to do, but we have to do them because they're what's necessary for us to live that life. And so this plan, this is what we have to understand about God's plan, is that we really, this is where we have to live, is the idea that God's plan is the best for us. And what He has in that plan for us is the best. And when it comes against what we wanted ourselves, we have to be okay with laying that down. Why? Because it's like the vegetables. Amen? Now, my wife likes vegetables. Me, not so much. I have to force myself to eat vegetables. Amen? I would prefer to eat vegetables like in baby food form because then they're not... It's just, but not green smoothies. Green smoothies are absolutely disgusting. I don't know what... Praise the Lord. They are. They're horrible. Every time I try them, I mean, I have one. I'll be a couple days into one, and I want to just like, I want to barf every time I eat. Praise the Lord. But notice what it says here, to give you hope in your final outcome. Praise the Lord. Give you hope in your final outcome. I love that aspect of the scripture, because when we understand that the hope isn't just for today. Many people, when they're broken, when they're hurting, when they're dealing with something, if they're sick, if they're going through a trial in their life, they want the answer for what they're dealing with right now. But see, God isn't just about fixing right now. God is about fixing everything. He's about saying, I want the outcome to be good. And so we have to understand that about our God, is that He is always focused on the outcome. He isn't focused just on today. Yes, God wants you help today. Yes, He wants you to get through it today. But the outcome is what He's after, amen? So we have to understand that there's two sides to this verse. There's the, yes, He has a plan for me, which is great, and we get excited about, but also there's a plan for me, and so that plan is something I've got to follow. I got to find out what that is. It's my job to figure out what that plan is for of God for my life, so I can walk in that, so I can be pleasing to Him. And so the outcome is the outcome that He desired, amen? Praise the Lord. Turn with me to Matthew. In light of that, turn with me to Matthew 7. Praise God. God is so good. Turn with me to Matthew 7 and verse 21. What's the scripture say here? Matthew 7, 21. Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." I have the last part of that verse underlined in my Bible. I have the whole thing highlighted, but I got that last part underlined. It is imperative that we find out what God's will is for each of us. It is imperative. If we are not, look at what the scripture says. Jesus Himself said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, not everybody who calls Jesus Lord is going to heaven. Jesus said that. Not everyone who's going to that calls me Lord is going to see heaven, but He, the one who does the will of my Father. In order to do the will of the Father, you got to find out what the will of the Father is, right? Praise the Lord. Verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Wow, that's a heavy, heavy statement. Listen, it is not going to church, being a Christian, it's not a joke. It's not playtime. It is not just, I mean, yes, it's meant to bless your life. Yes, it's meant to make you happy. Yes, it's to give you purpose, but that's just it. We have a responsibility by the blood of Christ. We have a responsibility to walk into what God has for us. And if we don't, it can be dangerous. How horrible would it be to be standing before Jesus and have Him say, depart from me, I never knew you. The Lord will say one of two things to us. He will say, well done, good and faithful servant, or He'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. That would be horrible. There are Christians, there are people that call themselves Christians that are in churches on a weekly basis. And I'm not saying all this to scare you. Listen, it's not meant to scare you. It's meant to encourage you to find the plan of God for your life. It's not messing around. We're not just casual about the things of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. In John 6:44, He says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Again, we see the last day. You know, Jesus said that through life we'll have trials, we'll have tribulations, we'll have things that come against us. We understand that. But He said at the last day, he's also given us the victory in life. But at the last day, there's nothing else that's going to come against us. When it's all said and done, He's going to raise us all up. He's going to finally get us through to the other side. Hallelujah. And there will be no more trial for us after that. That's the hope. That's the final outcome that we're looking for. Amen. But we have to understand that there is a process to get there. And we know this, that no one can come to him unless the Father draws him. So first we understand this, that the Father draws us to him. Many people have been come, many of you have been drawn into this church for some reason. Or some, you know, or many people, many churches have been drawn into him for some reason. That's the Lord working on them. I remember when the Lord was calling me. I didn't really understand the call of the Lord, but I knew that it was there. I was like, I got to get to church. I got to start doing this. I didn't know why, and I wasn't living right, and it was all these things, but I just knew I had to be there by my spirit on the inside of me. See, God was drawing me in. But see, the thing about drawing that we have to understand is that the draw does not mean that God forces you to come in. He puts the burning desire on the inside of you. But it's us who determine whether or not we're going to fulfill that. It's just like God's plan. He has a plan for us. But you don't automatically walk into that plan. You decide whether or not you will. And this is the whole thing about God. We have a decision to make with every area of our life. If we want freedom in our life, we decide whether we walk in the freedom. Jesus provided it. He gave the way. Jesus said, I defeated it. I gave you every ability to overcome every obstacle. There's no obstacle you cannot overcome through me. You know, the Bible says through him we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, right? Philippians 4:13. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. All things. What is included in all things? All things. There's nothing that can keep us down. We can follow that plan of God through Christ who strengthens us. There's some days when I wake up and I don't feel like I can operate in the plan of God. But I know that I can because Philippians 4:13 tells me I can. Amen? Because I know that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But see, there's still a doing on my part, and that's the point that we have to decide we're the ones who are going to do it. See, the draw can be there. I've talked to people who have been drawn to the church or drawn to a church, and then they stop going. And they stop going because they stopped operating on that draw. And sooner or later, they stop feeling the draw. Why? Because the Bible says they callous their hearts to the point where they can't even hear from God anymore. How would you like to get there? I always stay before the Lord. Lord, do not let me get deceived. If there's a way in me that is not right before you, because this is the thing, if we allow ourselves to be deceived by a thought, and you will, thoughts will come, and they'll be tricky, they'll sneak up on you, and they'll be like, maybe this is right, but you're hearing that it's wrong in other areas, you see in the word that it's wrong, but you're thinking that maybe this is okay, see, that's where people enter in deception. Let me make this clear for you. When people sit in church, and they hear the word of God, and they decide something else other than what was preached, they've entered into deception. Now, the amount that you enter into deception or allow deception to work in you is also determined by you. But the outcome will be hindered or be brought forth according to how you were deceived or how you allowed yourself. Because you're not going to be able to stand before Jesus and say, Lord, I was deceived because I didn't listen, because I chose something else, but I was still deceived. That's not going to fly. He's going to say, I gave you the way. I gave you a church. I drew you into this place. And see, it's very important for us to know when we are drawn somewhere, drawn to someone, just like I was drawn to our sister Sue in the beginning of the service. I couldn't go on. I could have skipped over it. Didn't necessarily want to, I didn't want to be like, because you don't know what's going on always with people and stuff, and you don't want to, you don't want to embarrass anybody or anything like that, and none of that stuff is going on here. Precious to me, you know what I mean? And my heart was drawn, and I had to follow that, but I still have a choice on whether or not I'm going to operate in that. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's just like on the Tuesday night service we had, and Michael was sitting there, and there was just a draw in the spirit towards him. Well, the service that was good would not have been good if I hadn't followed that draw. Amen. We have to do what we're led to do. And see, this is important for Christians to learn how to be led this way, because what's going to happen is God's going to deal with you. Can I confess something to you? I missed it. I missed it in an area that I'm very sorry for. There's this coffee shop that I go to often after I drop Ezra off, and I'll prepare for service and whatever, and I'll sit there and read my, I go there because I can be by myself. Not a lot of people go there. But every once in a while, there's these two gentlemen that come in, and they annoy me. They annoy me bad. They talk bad. They got rotten mouths. And they just sit there and they talk about stupid things. And they sound like idiots, and I just want to tell them that every time. But I'm always thinking, I'm sitting there with my Bible, I just got to be religious. I got to be good, you know. One day, and of course, this coffee shop, the area is like this big, and all the tables are in this area, so you hear what everybody's talking about. Not even if you're not listening, you're listening. But this one day, the guy that I can't stand the most come in, and he was talking to his friend, and he starts talking about how his life is, and how much he's struggling. Talking about how much his life has fallen apart. And, man, my heart's just burning. And I just start, literally on the inside, I'm just like, I'm so moved. And I was like, Lord, I start praying, Lord, how do I help this guy? And he's telling me, I don't know the answer. He's telling his friend, I don't know the answer. I don't know his friend is in the offer. And any suggestions, he's like, man, I'm sorry that you're going through that. I'm sorry. I had no idea. And the whole time, it's burning in me. And it's like, and I'm just like, Lord, give me an opportunity. Give me an opportunity. Give me an opportunity. And all the way up until the end, and the guy's standing up, and he's getting ready to leave. And I have this thought, I'm just like, ask him to just sit down. And I'm like, Lord, give me the opportunity. Give me the opportunity. Give me the opportunity. The man leaves. And the opportunity passes, and I haven't seen him since. This was months ago. And every time I go in there, every time I think about it, I'm like, Lord, give me another chance. Give me another chance. I'm sorry that I missed it. Because my opportunity was there before me. The opportunity was step out in boldness and just say something. And you have all the thoughts, like, well, this guy who's going to think that you were eavesdropping and stuff like that. But see, this man needed Jesus. Jesus was the answer to his life. And I missed the opportunity to deliver that to him. I missed the opportunity because whether or not he would have accepted it didn't matter. But I missed the opportunity. Are we going to be people that are worthy of the call? Are we going to be people that will miss the opportunity? When there's a draw in your spirit, just step out. Just do it. Because if you miss it, you might not get that chance. And I repented before the Lord. I said, Lord, I will be bold. I'll be the person that'll do it. Because it's not always easy. It's not always easy. But I don't want to be somebody who's just playing church. You know, it's easy to talk to you when you need help. It's easy to talk to, most of the time anyways. It's easy to talk to people a lot of times when you're feeling it. But sometimes we have to just learn to step out when we're not feeling it. I don't ever want to miss it. It's a rotten feeling. It's a to think that you miss it and that somebody, may not have. And I prayed since then, I prayed that the Lord would send somebody who would be bold. We got to be that. We got to be willing to be that, amen? We got to be willing to answer that draw, to answer that call, amen? Drawn by, the word draw literally is to be drawn by inward power. That's what it means. Overwhelmingly in Scripture, the people who received of God came to him, not the other way around. Jesus, I heard a minister talking about this, and I loved it. It's truth. But Jesus, when you look at Jesus and the acts of Jesus through the Bible, Jesus didn't go up to everybody who needed him. Jesus didn't walk up and set every person free that was bound around him. Who were the ones that Jesus set free? The ones who came to him. The ones who came to him. See, if we want God, we have to come to him. If we want from God, we have to step out towards him. Why? Because he did everything already. He sent Jesus. He paid the price. But it's a requirement. We have to come to him to receive from him. Amen? And you say, why is that? Because if you've ever known somebody who's been handed everything in life, they don't appreciate anything. Somebody who has given everything and is always just given their way and everything's paid for, they don't care. Money doesn't mean anything to them. Wasting money doesn't mean anything. Wasting time doesn't mean, because they always got everything they needed. And that's a detriment. God isn't going to do that to us. Again, he isn't going to allow, he's not going to give us something that won't be a blessing to us. And if him blessing us is going to make us spoiled rotten, he isn't going to give it to us. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you can't be good with money, God ain't going to give you more. You have to decide to be good with it. You have to determine in your heart, I'm going to be good with it. If you can't be a decent person, God isn't going to bring more blessing to you because you have to decide to do that. If you aren't going to stop sinning, I use this example Friday night, And it was humbling. I was listening to a minister on the internet. I was listening to just a clip of a minister. And this other pastor had come to him and said, that who had fallen, had stumbled. And he said to the minister, he said, I just don't know why I fell into this. And the minister said to him, he said, I'll tell you why, because you haven't learned to hate sin. He's like, yes, I do. I hate sin. He's like, no, you don't hate sin. He said, you hate the consequences of sin. See, a lot of people, they come to God, they hate the consequences of sin, but they don't hate the sin enough. How do we know? Because they keep doing it. If you continue in the same sin that you always are in, it's because you don't hate the sin, you just hate the consequences. And I remember being in this place in my own life where I was like, I was constantly doing the wrong thing, I was constantly doing the bad thing, and then all of a sudden, it kept biting me, and I was like, wait a minute here. I have to stop doing this because I'm losing everything. Listen, you will lose everything in your life if you don't stop sinning. If you don't stop doing what you know you got to stop doing, you will lose everything. Actually, there's places in the Bible where we're told that we have to give certain people, sometimes as a pastor, this is my direction, that I have to give people over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh because they won't live right. So their soul will be saved in eternity. What's that mean? It means I give them over to Satan so they die. And usually the death isn't a good death. It's a very very rapid, very bad death because they won't stop sinning. Why? Because if you live in a place where you're purposefully sinning, look in the Bible and see what the Bible says about sin. It says that people who are fornicators, that they go to hell. It says that people who are adulterers, they go to hell. It says people who are liars, they go to hell. It says that people who are drunkards, they go to hell. Praise the Lord. That's why I don't want to toy with any of that stuff. That's why I don't want to play with alcohol. Why? Because drunkards go to hell. I don't want to step into that. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. And he said, I'll say, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You're practicing lawlessness by lying, by deceiving, by getting into these things over and over and over. You are choosing every single time to step into it, and you're choosing by your own accord. And Jesus will not, in that day, if you don't get it right, praise the Lord, are we walking worthy of the call? We have to ask ourselves this continually. Listen, I know this is a more sober message, and I'm not apologizing for that. Actually, I was just before service, as I was sitting here, I opened my Bible. If you saw me, I was meditating on 1 Corinthians 13:1 or 13:4-8, because I wanted to make sure that I delivered this message from the aspect of love. You understand? I didn't want to yell at people. I didn't want to just get mad at people. Because sin makes you mad, hallelujah, especially when you're under the anointing. But we have to operate accordingly. And you all know people in your lives. We see people all the time and listen, we all have some area in our life. I'm not saying that any one of us is perfect. But we have to not allow opportunity for the devil. We have to take things a little more seriously than what we do. We have to, we have to understand that the word is a word for a reason. We have to teach about sin because, by and large, it's just not being had today. Praise the Lord. Overwhelmingly in Scripture, the people who received from God, they came to Him. Remember, when the Bible talks about coming to God, it is not just like, here I am, Lord, praying to the Lord. Lord, bless me. Lord, change this in me. That's not what it is. Coming to God was repentance. When John the Baptist was preaching before Jesus, he was the one that was making straight the path of the Lord, right? When he was preaching, what did he say? He said, repent and be changed. Repent and be changed. Repent means to be changed. Coming to God is not just coming. Like, see, we have done a detriment in the church of teaching Christians that it's okay to live how you want because you're under grace and to just apologize for it later. That's not God. We find in the Scripture, we find a God who is very against that. A God who said that you will go to hell for thinking that way. We can't allow ourselves to be wrapped up in that. We have to repent. We have to change. Change. It means to change. Praise God. We're going to get into that more. Hallelujah. Praise God. Ephesians 5, verse 8. Praise the Lord. I know this isn't necessarily a message, or as Pastor Tim would call it, the swinging from the chandeliers message. But it will save your life, amen? Praise the Lord. And I know it's a sobering thing. But listen, I want to be in the will of God. I want to be in the place where I'm receiving from God. And here's the other thing. I've got to stand before the Lord and I've got to answer for what I taught you. For what I said to you guys. If I didn't speak the truth, if I didn't give you the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God, praise the Lord, I got to answer to Jesus. And I've got a fear, a reverent fear of standing before the Lord and not doing it right. I want to have confidence before God, amen. Ephesians 5 verse 8 through 21. Look at what it says here. For you were once darkness. Now remember, Ephesians is that awesome book of the Bible that tells us all these things that we are in Christ and all these things that we have because we belong to Christ. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. But look what it also says. For you were once darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. The Bible would not command us to do something that we could not do. Walk, when he says walk as children of the light, it means you decide how you're going to walk. You choose it. If you want to walk right, if you want to walk upright before God, if you want to guarantee your entrance into heaven, you can do that if you follow God, if you do it right. Praise the Lord. But if you, now listen, don't let the devil confuse you here either. It's not hard to follow God. It's not hard to be in God's will. Being in God's will, you will make mistakes. Sometimes there'll be big mistakes. Sometimes you're going to feel like, oh, I can't come back from that mistake. But you can. And see, that's the goodness of God. Where the problem is it's people who habitually live in a certain way and won't put it down or won't do anything. And then finally, they just accept it as part of who they are. We all have areas in our lives. We all do. But we have to decide whether or not we're going to do something with it. Amen? Praise the Lord. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Goodness, righteousness, and truth. Amen? That's awesome. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. You know, there's so many arguments in Christianity about, like, if you go on YouTube, you can see gazillions of people. There's people on YouTube that will tell you that the things that we believe here in this church, we're going to hell for it. But they can't back it up with Scripture. See, that's the difference. I can back this what we're preaching up with Scripture, multiple Scriptures, amen? Praise the Lord. But it's important to find out what is acceptable to the Lord. It's not acceptable to, you know, people argue, I'll take the drinking thing again because that's a big thing in the body of Christ. You know, people argue this, well, Jesus, the wine and stuff like this. Jesus never set up shots on a bar and said, let's have drunken parties all the time. He never did that. So no matter how you want to come at it, and you're wrong for thinking that other thing in the first place, and I could explain that, I'm not going to do it here. But he never did that. He never advocated to that. In fact, he was the one that said drunkards will be in hell. I mean, we have to understand that. It's not, listen, it is not, like, if you struggle with this stuff, it is not to condemn you and say that you're a bad person. But it's, see, when you have something in your life that is wrong, you have to recognize it and take it before the Lord and be repentant about it, changing it, amen? There are things I struggle with as a human, things that maybe many of you won't struggle with. Those things I have to deal with on a constant basis. Listen, that's my struggle. If your struggle is another thing, that's fine. But let's not accept things that are sin just because it's something that we're struggling with. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. If you struggle in an area, don't just start accepting it and accepting it from other people because you want to justify your own sin. That's being deceived. Amen? Praise the Lord. And have no fellowship. How much fellowship? None. With the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Expose them. Man, we got to expose some bad stuff sometimes. Sometimes we got to say, that's not right. Christians got to stand up and say, that's not right. We're not trying to be mean, but that's not right. We're exposing darkness. It's not okay to live in sin. Praise the Lord. You know what I mean? People come over. My wife and I came into church. We came in. We didn't have a relationship to please God. How do I know? We lived together. We weren't married. That wasn't God's will. That wasn't God's plan for our life. Praise the Lord. It took us some time to get, we had to get some things in order. We had to do that. Understandably so. A lot of blessing came after we decided to finally get right about that. But that's the way of the Lord. That's what he said. Praise the Lord. We didn't do everything in our lives even when we first started coming to church. We didn't tithe. We didn't give. Maybe a little bit, we give a little bit, but we didn't tithe, we didn't serve, we didn't do all the things that we, but we learned over time. And so as we learned, we started putting these things in practice. We started making the adjustments, making the change. You don't got to be sad about it. See, this is the thing. People get sad about what they're told they got to change. And it's like, why would you get sad? If I came up to you and I said, if I came up to you and I said, there's a bee on your back, would you be mad that I told you that? So you could get it off of you before you got stung? Or do you want to wait until it's, you know, would it be better that you got stung and say, well, I saw the bee on your back, but I didn't want to offend you. You know what I'm saying? Well, you know, in that basket over there you're about to go pick up, it's full of scorpions. Praise the Lord. You got my had an aunt that lived down in Texas, and she said that, or not, was it Texas? Yeah, it was Texas, I think. And then she said scorpions are coming from everywhere. That's why I won't live in Texas. Texas might be pretty, I'll visit it, but I don't want to live there. Amen? Because I don't like scorpions. She would find them in her laundry basket. Yeah, they're coming through the plumbing and stuff. I don't know about all that. I don't want anything to do with that. But I'd want to know that when I was going to be there. Amen? I know that it was Brother Kevin Durant. He was going to get in his pool shed or something. They lived down south Alabama somewhere. And as he was about to step through the door, the Holy Spirit on the inside of him said, stop, there's a snake in there. He opened, peeked around, and there was a poisonous snake right there. He would have stepped right on top. It would have bit him and probably killed him. See, the Holy Spirit, it's important to follow the Spirit, amen? So we understand it's not bad to get warned about something before it comes. I mean, how would you like to be standing? Because this is what will happen. We'll probably be standing in heaven at the day of judgment and probably be standing there somewhere near you. And you go get up to heaven and said, and God says, I'm sorry, you can't come in here because of the life you lived. You didn't live right. And you're like, well, what did I do? And he says this, this, and this. And you say, I'd never hear that. And all of a sudden you look over at me. Yeah, absolutely. That's a pretty sobering thing, isn't it? I don't want you looking over at me. I say, this is between you and him. I told you. Yeah. That's right. Praise the Lord. That's the way it's got to be. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something else. If you see me doing something wrong, you know it's wrong, according to Scripture. Well, certainly don't start doing it as a result, you know what I'm saying? We don't copy other people that are doing wrong just because, well, all these other Christians are doing wrong, so I can get away with it too. Yeah. If it's convicting you on the inside, you better stay away from that thing. Hey, I can tell you this is the greatest thing in the world to do, but if you think it's not, then you better not. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Where are we? I don't know. The Scripture went down to. Praise the Lord. Verse 12. Okay. For it is shameful to even, for it is shameful to even speak of those things which are done by them in secret. Remember, I'm going to say this again. Secrets are not of God. If you keep secrets, you're not operating according to the Spirit. You're operating according to the devil. Yeah, because God is not about secrets. He is not about. He hates. God exposes things, especially things that are bad in secret. Amen. You can keep a present secret or something like that, and you better. But you know, when it comes to other secrets, you better not. Praise the Lord. I keep thinking about me up there in heaven with you, and like you looking back at me and be like. No, sir. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But all things are exposed, are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. See, that's what the light does. Jesus is light. It was light to the world. We're supposed to be light in the world. Praise the Lord, because we're supposed to be a reflection of Jesus. Yeah. Light exposes things. Amen. You know, when you have photographs back in the day, I mean, you don't do it anymore with digital, but there was a dark room you'd go into, and what would they do? They put light on it, and it would expose it. It would reveal what was hidden there. Amen? That's what the light does. It reveals the secret things, the hidden things. Amen? That's why whenever there's a prophet around, I always start confessing. When I know they're going to, I start going through my life, and I'm making sure that I confess everything. Because I don't want them exposing anything. When light comes around, I don't want them exposing something that's wrong. You know what I mean? I want to make sure it's right. I'd rather do it in private with the Lord than have to do it publicly. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And don't think that God couldn't use me that way. God could, if you stay in sin, listen, if you stay in sin, God could, I've seen it before. I've seen somebody who refused to do what was right, and I saw the pastor have to call them up before the church, rebuke them, and actually kick them out of the church. Tell them, you're not allowed to come back. How would you like that on a Sunday morning? Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Yeah, you don't want to do that on Mother's Day. Hallelujah. But see, God don't observe the same hours that we do. You know what I'm saying? So it might happen. Just get right. You know what I mean? We just got to be right. We got to walk worthy of the call. Praise the Lord. See, therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, rise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do. And now he's going to tell us what the, he's going to tell us some things. So understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation. Dissipation, yeah, I said that right. But be filled with the Spirit. I actually put that down. I looked that up because I didn't know what the heck dissipation meant. It means an abandoned, immoral life. That's what being drunk with wine is. It's an abandoned, and it's not just being drunk. It's any kind of anything that alters the mind. Praise the Lord. That it makes you unsober, and it's called an abandoned, immoral life. All that stuff falls right into that category. Praise the Lord. Speaking to one another, and actually that word one another, it is better translated, and I looked it up just to make sure, but it's the truth. It's better translated yourself, himself, herself. So it's speaking to yourself in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. We're not preaching on all that today, but there's stuff in there. Giving thanks always. For all things to God, the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's pretty heavy, though, but it's the truth. This is what we need to do. We have to shun those things that are bad. Amen? Colossians 1:10 says that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. See, this is what our lives should be. We should walk worthy of the Lord. How do we do that? Fully pleasing him. How do we fully please him? We follow his word. We do the things his word says. We endeavor to be those people that God wants us to be. You won't be perfect. You don't need to be perfect. This is the greatest thing. That's what grace is really for. It's for those of us who want to be right but can't always be perfect. That's what grace is for, is to help you in those times. So if you have an area where you're struggling, praise the Lord. You keep that before the Lord. Keep a tender heart about it before the Lord, saying, I know that this is wrong. I know I'm wrong. And stop justifying it. Yeah. Stop justifying why you do what's wrong. Yeah. Hallelujah. Oh, there's some Holy Ghost anger right there, a little fire. Stop justifying what's wrong in your life. Recognize it before the Lord. Lord, this is wrong. I need this to change. I need your help, but this is not right. I'm not going to justify it anymore. I'm not going to try to come up with reasons why I'm doing this anymore. See, that's what this whole psychology business wants us to do. It wants us to come up with reasons why you acted wrong. No, you don't have any reasons why you acted wrong. If you've been born again, and you're going to see why here in a minute, praise the Lord. If you've been born again, you've been set free, you've been made new, amen? Romans 8:12, praise God. Praise the Lord. You know, I generally don't have outbursts, right? Just like randomly, right? No, I don't just like, but if it comes, that's the Holy Spirit, amen? Jesus had outbursts. Romans 8:12. Yeah, tell people that, because he was, man, I can't imagine what he's like at home. I mean, listen, the water will be flavored with the pipes a little bit. You know what I'm saying? When it's coming through, it's going to be flavored through my personality a little bit. But that's how God uses me. And when there's something like that, God's dealing with things. He wants to break things off. Amen? But there has to be warning. Amen? Romans 8:12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you live by the Spirit, you will put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Yeah. See, it's by the Spirit we put to death the deeds of the body. That's how we do it. How do we do it? By the Spirit. But when we constantly think in the flesh, this is what I want, this is what I want, this is how I want to do it, this is where I want to go, this is what I want to be, this is what I want to taste, this is what I want to eat, this is what I want to drink, this is what I want. That's the flesh. The Spirit is going on the inside, praise the Lord, and finding out what God has for us. Sometimes, I know with some people, God doesn't take everything away from everybody, praise the Lord. Sometimes he'll tell you, don't eat this anymore. Why? Because for whatever reason, it makes you sick or does something in your body that you shouldn't. I've heard of people doing that, and they've been set free from diseases because God just changed their diet. He didn't change that. He didn't tell everybody to do that, but by the Spirit, they put to death the deed. But they're like, well, I like that. Well, if you like that and it makes you sick, you're going to keep being sick then.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. I say the same thing about going out in the wintertime without a jacket on. I don't care who you are. I don't care. You think people think that it's fine or whatever? You could keep doing it. You wonder why you're sick. You know what I mean? Because people say, I've been told this before, and I don't know medically whether it's true or not, or they think it's true or not. I can look at Lori, and I'm not going to look at Lori because she's probably going to say, no, that's not true. But people say, well, it's not that. Well, I don't care if you say that it's not a jacket or not wearing a jacket in the winter won't make you sick. It will. I've seen it happen. It just so happens that every time when I bundle up and if I go out in the cold and I'm out there and I'm exposed to the cold and everything, I come in and all of a sudden I got the sniffles and then the next day I got a sore throat. You can't tell me it wasn't from not being bundled up. Amen. Well, that's just my thoughts, but praise the Lord. Lord, then that is more in the realm of opinion, you know, than anything else. No scripture on it. So Romans 8:12. Where was I? 13. Thank you. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you put by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. We love that scripture, right? But we have to actually do it. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we also may be glorified together. Now, I wanted to get here because this is a scripture that many people take out of context. They take about what is the sufferings of Christ? People like, see, God wants you to suffer. And so many people will take this to mean, well, God wants you sick or God wants you broken. But again, you have to look at what the sufferings of Christ were. What did Christ do? How did Christ act? How did Christ live? How did he suffer? Amen? We have to understand what that means. Like, this is why keeping things in context is so, so important. If we don't keep the scripture in context, we get led astray, we get led into things that aren't true, and we start believing things that aren't biblical at all, and then we hold on to them thinking that that's God and it wasn't at all. You get deceived. We got to keep it in context. What does it say? It says, "And if indeed we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together." So God wants us glorified, right? Isn't that the ultimate purpose? Praise the Lord. So you're there. Turn with me to Matthew 16:24. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're going to find out what the sufferings that God is talking about are. Matthew 16:24. Praise God. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Jesus was not calling you to nail yourself to a cross because he did it. He was not calling you to be lashed on the back, to go through the punishment of pay a sinner's or suffer a sinner's death on the cross. He wasn't calling us to do that. Why? Because that's not was his intent. He was doing it. Why would Jesus do something they would then require us to do? That didn't make any sense, does it? But what does he say there? If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So now we're going to take this to the other extreme. What does the other extreme do with this? Well, you can't enjoy anything in life. You got to deny yourself. If you want it, it's not of God. That ain't true either. How do we know that? Because the scripture never tells us that. The scripture tells us that God wants good things for us. But what is this getting to? It's getting to the heart of people. You need to deny yourself sometimes of things that aren't good for you. You need to deny yourself. Sometimes you're going to deny yourself of things that you want. Listen, I understand what it's like to deny yourself of things that you want. You might want to be able to do this without being hindered. But sometimes, you know, you got to be in church on Sunday mornings, even though you're busy the rest of the week. Sometimes you got to be in church on Saturday nights, even though you're busy the rest of the week. Sometimes you got to come to a midweek service. We're all busy. You don't think we're busy? Hallelujah. We're all busy. Glory to God. I just think it's funny. People come up to you with reasons why they can't be in church. And listen, there's legitimate reasons. You don't have to give me reasons why you're not in church. You don't have to do that. Because quite frankly, and I'm not saying this to be mean, I don't care. I don't want reasons. I don't care. Because, listen, if there's times I'm not there because of reasons, right? But I'm justified in those reasons. I ain't got to share them with anybody. But if you got to give me reasons or after reasons after reasons why you're in church, listen, they don't settle. We're busy too. I understand what being busy is like. I understand what having a lot to do is like. I understand what having kids. Like there's people when we were in the Jamestown church, they tell us, well, we can't be at this service or that service because we have little ones. I'm like, oh, really? We don't have little ones? I had people tell me when I was an usher, they like, well, I can't serve because we have a child. I'm like, really? I have three. Hallelujah. I serve every single service. I'm there every single time. Praise the Lord. See, like people come up with, you can excuse your way out of anything. I'm not saying be justified in what you do. If you're not there, then don't be there and be justified in doing it. But don't try to justify it to me because I don't care. It's not. I am here to give people the word and to teach people the word and to help people along. Those who want it will be there and those who don't, won't. If you aren't there for a reason, be justified in doing it. Don't explain yourself to anyone. Listen, here's the thing. I'm gonna give you a little. I've learned this as a parent, but when you gotta start explaining your way out of something, there's probably something you're doing wrong. When you gotta start giving excuses of why you're not doing this or why you're not doing that or da 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 da, well, you probably better check up on something. Listen, I'm in this boat too, people. Yeah. Praise the Lord. I have a wife that likes things a certain way. Sometimes, like, you know, she comes home and things aren't the way that she wanted them to be. And I got to try to start explaining myself, right? And the truth was, I didn't want to get out of bed an extra 5 minutes early to make the bed. I just wanted to get up and leave. Sometimes I didn't want to put my clothes in the basket because it was all the way over there on the other side of the room. You know what I mean? Yes, I could have thrown it, but that's besides the point. Sometimes she's like, are you done wearing these clothes? And I'm like, well, they're not on me now. I was planning on wearing them again. I didn't want to put them back in the wash, but I didn't want to fold them back up and put them in the closet either. They were fine on the floor where I was going to get them again. Amen? Because that's right where I needed to. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Yeah. See, there's stuff. There's stuff. We all have stuff. We ain't got to get like so. Like, and we all have our different ways of working. She's learned to work with me, and I'm I'm learning, amen. It's a lifetime of teaching. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. But anyways, so you understand what I'm saying. Like, whatever we do, and this is part of doing things right before the Lord, is just being justified before God. Yeah. Like, when we do something, we just, God doesn't want us living in condemnation. And this is what I have to say to you, too. Like, people who come up with reasons for stuff, too. Listen, don't live in that condemnation. If you're convicted about it, then you get before the Lord and say, Lord, how do I change this? And then figure it out, and you be justified in what you do, and be fine with that, and be good with it. Don't explain it to anyone else. Do you know one thing that stinks about sometimes about having a close church family is sometimes when something happens, you know, people mess up. Everybody's going to mess up. I'm going to look at each and every single one of you and say, you're going to mess up sometime. Yeah. Probably in the next week, you'll mess up at least once. At least once, yeah. Some of you might mess up big. Some of you might make a big, but if you keep a heart right before the Lord, he's going to accept you, he's going to take you back, and that's fine. You know what I mean? People make mistakes, and one of the things that always comes to people when they make a mistake is, oh my God, what are others going to think? What are everybody else going to think? Well, I missed that, and now I missed it here, and so-and-so is going to know about it. Listen, you got to be just as gracious as you want graciousness. Amen. This is one thing I've learned. You know what's you know what made me deal with you know, my son Mark. Sometimes we had some in his growing up, we have some, you know, some headbutting a little bit, you know, because we're very much the same personality, and he wants to do the things that I wanted to do, and you know, I'm not talking about good things, you know, just like kid stuff, you know what I mean, as we were growing up and stuff. But you know what? How I learned to have mercy on him. Because every single time the Lord reminded me, every time I wanted to come down and just smash him for something stupid, you know what the Lord reminded me of? You're going to want mercy too. So when you see somebody else screwing up, you have mercy too. Yeah. When you see somebody else is missing, you have mercy too. Because sometimes it's going to be, you know, listen, my kids, I talk about them a lot. They're great kids, wonderful. They're not going to be perfect. They're going to do things that our kids have, and you're going to see it. They say, well, the pastor's kid. So-and-so's kid. Listen, it is not about making mistakes. When we start dwelling on what other people are doing wrong, we start operating. That's where Jesus said, you know, you start looking at the plank in your own eye, not the board in other people, or the splinter in other people's. Because that's it. When you start looking at other people's stuff and start talking about it, now you're looking at somebody else's splinter. and you're ignoring the board in your own eye. Listen, you know, there's times when the Lord will have me talk about somebody in here, give accolades to somebody in here. You know, every single person that I've ever given accolades in here, I'm going to tell you something, they ain't perfect. And you know, sometimes when I'm giving those accolades, I know they're not perfect. I know things that they've done. Sometimes I know by the Spirit, sometimes I know by natural means. But it doesn't matter. See, it doesn't matter because God is not counting every little thing against us that we do. He's not looking to tear us apart. But what we have to do is when we know there's something wrong, we have to keep that before God and stay open about it and say, Lord, this is between you and me and I need to be right. And, you know, sometimes we do need to confess it to a brother and sister because if you do something that hurts someone else, then you need to clear that up and make it right. But there isn't anything wrong with that. There's nothing wrong at all with that. But then if you're on the other side where you're receiving that from someone, be gracious to them. Listen, I'll be gracious to you too. Praise the Lord. I didn't, when I first, you know what, I'm telling myself again, praise the Lord. You know, you've heard me shout and holler and everything else about people not coming to church or whatever. Praise the Lord. And I say that. I believe it's by the Spirit because God's trying to stir people up. You know, there was a time I wasn't faithful to church. There was times where I was in and out. I'd go one week and not come the next week. There was times where I didn't go to every service. For the first 5 years, the Lord has reminded me of this dozens of times. For the first 5 years, we went to family church. We didn't go to one extra service. Guest ministers, we didn't go to guest ministers. We didn't go to extended services in Fredonia or anywhere else. What happened? Well, over time, the Lord worked on me, and I got revelation of things through somebody standing in the pulpit saying, you got to be there! You know what I mean? So it's not about knocking you down or anything like that, or because I've been in the same boat. I understand. That's why I can stand here and say these things, because I understand. I go through it. But at the same time, we have to be gracious with people. You know, when we get something somebody else doesn't get, well, praise the Lord. Be gracious with them. Why? Because they're going to get something you don't get. Amen. Just because we call somebody out doesn't mean they're perfect or that every area in their life is perfect. But if I call somebody out for something and say, this is what they're doing good, that's something to follow because that's what they're doing good. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. See, that's how it works. It's that God isn't looking to knock us down. He's looking to give us opportunity. And so he calls us out and says, you know what? This is an area. You know, God, and some of the miserable times in my life, and God said, well, one of the times in my life I thought I was the worst and I was just being a piece of garbage, and the Lord through his word revealed something to me about how he looked at me, and it just blessed me. It came to tears over it. Why? Because God isn't looking at everything I do wrong. And see, that's the other side to this. We have to be right. We don't want to be rejecting of sin, but we don't want to be so sin conscious that every little thing that's sin, well, that's the end of the world. And listen, sometimes parents, your kids, sometimes there'll be things in your kids that'll be different, but it's not necessarily wrong. And sometimes you need to learn that that's okay. I don't know how to explain that any better than because I don't have any examples right now, but just sometimes, I'm not talking about when you look at it scripturally it's wrong, you know what I mean? But sometimes your kids will desire a certain thing or they'll act a certain way, you know, praise the Lord. Sometimes they got to find out their own way. And that's fine. We need to let them do that, amen? I hope that helps, praise the Lord. So I'm real close to closing. Where was I? Was in Matthew? No, I didn't finish reading there. 16, right? 24. Yeah, where did I end? Does anyone know? 24. Okay, so for whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is a man to if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for a soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. It's putting down, it's finding out, this is what taking up your cross, so to speak, is. It's finding those things. What Jesus did was this. He didn't come to live for himself. He lived for the directive of God, which was to save the world. And so he had to live that way. And so sometimes he had to lay things down in order to accomplish that. Sometimes, Jesus didn't marry, regardless of what some of the stupid things want to try to tell you. It's false. It's just the devil. But Jesus didn't marry. That was one thing. As a man, he had to lay down, right? The desire to marry. He was a man, tempted in all ways as we were. So you don't think he was tempted? Of course he was tempted. But he had to lay that desire down because that wasn't in his directive. Now, don't take that wrong. If you're not married and you desire to be married, that doesn't mean that you can't be married. Jesus knew that that's what God wanted from him because that's what the Lord showed him and told him. Amen? Now, if you're getting that direction from God, that you think that, well, maybe God just doesn't want me married, come talk to me. And I'm going to explain to you, if you have a desire for it, how it's probably not of God. Because God will give you the grace to be able to do that. It's very rare that he gives people that he does that with people. For the rest of us, we get married, praise the Lord. But there will be other things in life. Maybe it'll be a certain job that you'll have to give up. Maybe it'll be a certain program you can't watch anymore. Maybe it'll be a certain day of the week that now you just have to dedicate to this. And you know that you have to do that, praise the Lord. That's the way it was with us when we went to Corey on Saturday nights. We didn't want to give up Saturdays and Saturday nights, but we knew that's what we had to do. Because that was our direction, and so we did that. You understand? That's what taking up your cross is. It's finding out that plan of God for your life, what he needs you to do, what he wants you to do, and following that. That's not that hard. But sometimes it's going to require you to put things down. Right. Amen? Does that all make sense? Praise the Lord. Now, I want to end with this scripture here. It's 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. How can you be a new creation holding on to everything that identifies you to your past? You can't. You are a new creation in Christ. So all those things from before, all those things from your past, all those things that you feel are so important for you to hold on to, you've got to decide, what do I want? Is this taking me forward in the plan of God or is it not? If it isn't, you need to lay it down. Yeah. That's your cross. That's your cross to bear. There'll be some things in life that you love very much that you'll have to put down. Sometimes it's people that just won't let you serve God. They won't let you go on with God. I know of marriages that have had to end because of that. I am not suggesting that every marriage, you have to know that that's what has to happen to end a marriage. You can't just end a marriage, praise the Lord. You can't just do that. But you, if that hindrance is keeping you from going forward in God, and they refuse to be right with God, then that's what has to happen sometimes. I've seen it happen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Sometimes I've had to direct people to do that. I don't want to direct people to do that, but I've had to in certain cases because I knew that person wanted nothing to do with God. They wanted nothing to do with this person. All they were doing was being abusive. And then at the end of it, it was hurting the whole situation, keeping them from moving forward. So it had to be, you know, that's not God's will, his highest and best. But sometimes it's got to happen, amen? Sometimes you have to separate yourself from family members. There's family members that we've had to distance ourselves from over the years because they don't want to live right and because they just want to kind of tear down that thing. And so we have to step away from that. There's friends we've had to step away from. These are crosses that we have to bear, you understand? Sometimes there's things. Now listen, we don't look for opportunity to cast off people or to throw people away. I'm not saying that. But we have to consider the truth, amen? And the preaching of the word will help us get there. Are we walking worthy of the Lord? Are we doing the things? Are we saying, Lord, what you did was enough for me to try to make this change in my life? We cannot live the way that we always did and expect to have anything different. If we're going to live for the Lord, then we have to do so through what the word says. We have to take up our cross and we have to follow him, amen?